Today on Faithfully Fantasy.
Today we're going to cover chapters 1 through 5. You've read it at last.
Yeah.
We will almost certainly swear during the summary.
To be honest, I've never seen that before in a book. I see it like, yeah, movies, but in a book is eventually we'll find out where this happened or what time history this happened. It would be like cool if we can. She's kind of like a legend as well.
Because she took out the battery behind. For ages, I was thinking it was an actual battery.
AAA battery?
No, a big grid, like a grid scale battery.
I'm guessing it's going to be one of the main characters, there's Seiden. Ah, Seiden. Hello and welcome to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things fantasy fiction.
Join us as I'm going through my first read-through of Old Wing, a book that we started talking about in our pilot episode, and then today we're going to dive a little bit more.
Today we're going to cover chapters 1 through 5 of Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. You've read it at last.
Yeah, finally.
So before we start with a summary of what happens over the first five chapters, mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of ask you a couple of things. There's a warning at the top of the book, at the start of the book, and we should probably start with a similar warning. Okay. We will almost certainly swear during the summary. And there's some themes throughout the book that are just not suitable for kids, so please be careful if you're listening around children. Probably not safe for work to have on in the office.
Yeah, definitely this book is not something that should be suitable to read next to children. We're not expecting that we're going to have any children listen to this podcast, but we just want to give you the heads up that we're going to be swearing, maybe. It's in the book, so
talking about adult themes as well.
Exactly.
So, right at the start of the book, there is a warning. I don't remember it off by heart, but basically you get thrilling adventure, brutal violence.
Yes.
Sex on the page, all those things. What did you read that first?
Yes. That was like one of the first things that caught my attention. Just from the first pages already telling you what you're going to find in this book, and yeah. It's definitely like adult stuff.
Felt like, for me, one of those warnings before a TV show or a cinema where you have flashing lights, like just be prepared.
Yeah, to be honest, I've never seen that before in a book. I see it in like, yeah, movies, but in a book is maybe if it's something really controversial, but something that's like about dragons or knights or whatever, you don't see that kind of like warning. Right. But in this one, yeah.
Yeah, I quite like it. It sets you up for like quite a thrilling adventure.
Yes.
Then the next one, before we get into the summary, there's quite a strange, it's not an epigraph, it's a note at the beginning of the book that all
All the story is transcribed from a Numerian into modern language by Yesenia Neilwart,
Yesenia Neilwart.
Yes, there's a scribe. And that's something that caught my attention as well, because as I said in the pilot episode, when it's about fantasy books, I really like when it's something that you can locate in real world. And then when we see this, like, this actually happened, and there's, like, a transcription about this, so we're like, oh, maybe, eventually we'll find out where this happened, or what time history this happened. It would be, like, cool if we can,
So yeah. Interesting. So you feel like it could have been in the Dark Ages or like...
Yeah, like a medieval age or something like that.
And dragons were actually real.
Yeah. So maybe by the end, if all the dragons die, then there's explanation and then just go to normal. But yeah, that's one of the things that caught my attention. But at the same time, like when they're talking about this Yesenia, I was like, okay, maybe she will be like somebody important in the book. But so far, I read the first chapters. I had nothing about her. So.
Do they all die?
Okay.
It kind of says, it says in the, we don't know yet, obviously,
yeah.
But it says something like, I can't even remember what it says, but it says something like, faithfully transcribed to commend those
For all of them
who have fallen.
Yeah,
may their souls be commended to Malak. And when someone dies in the book, Malak is the god of death.
Yeah.
And they commend him to Malak, commend them to the souls to Malak.
Yes.
So who dies? That's the big question.
Yeah.
We'll see. Definitely Dylan. Anyway, spoiler alert. I'm going to run through a summary of the first five chapters, and then I'm totally desperate to hear what you think of the book so far. I mean, it hasn't even got to the really good bits yet.
Yeah, at the moment. I had the first five chapters, but I still feeling like, okay, like I can see where you're going, but at the moment don't give me like I'm hooked or I want to know like or desperate what's going to happen.
You just wait till threshing. That's all I want to say. Okay, so it's conscription day, and we meet our heroine as she makes her way up to General Sorengale's office, aka her hard as nails mother, who's forcing her into the Riders' Quadrant of Bazgaiath War College. Violet has been in training to be a scribe, but Sorengale's are riders, and Mummy S is not about to let her daughter stay in the library like a little nerd. That is Mummy Sorengale's opinion, not mine, because I think libraries are cool. Anyway, Vi struggles on over to her mum's office with her 10-ton bag, and here's her tough nut sister fighting her case to the general. Violet can't be a rider. She's not weak, she's just fragile.
Yeah.
We get some suspicious mentions of Daddy Sorengale. Did you pick up on this?
Yes.
Her scribe father's death just after her brother Brennan was killed in battle. And some vagueness around a sickness bug during General Sorengale's pregnancy, which causes the ends of Violet's hair to lose its colour. Mira sorts out Violet's pack, disregarding the books of fables her dad used to read her as a child, and she walks over to the entrance of the Riders' Quadrant. Replaces her slicker ship boots, gives her some dragon scale armour. After a quick warning that Mira would hate to be an only child, Violet ascends the steps leading to the parapet, the 18-inch wide death bridge, which is the only way into the Riders' Quadrant for the cadets.
Mm-hmm.
We meet Dylan and Rhiannon on the way up the steps. Dylan doesn't last long though, as he falls off the parapet into the ravine below. Wow, 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 wow. Violet swaps one boot with Rhiannon as she spots her shiny soles, sparking the friendship Mira told her not to make. Enter Zaydan Ryerson, the tall, dark, and oh-so-handsome son of a traitor who appears to want to kill Violet as revenge for her mother putting his father to death, for leading a rebellion against the Kingdom of Navarre. We learn that all the kids of the traitors had to witness the execution of their parents. And they were marked with a rebellion relic from the Dragon of the Generals.
Mm-hmm.
More on Zaydan Ryerson later. Twat Barlow, I mean Jack Barlow, what a dick he is.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Gives Violet a hard time all the way up the steps, casually throws someone off the parapet, even waits for him. He waits for it, this other cadet, and he says a scrawny cadet, picks him up and throws him off the parapet. And then he chases Violet across to the end. She makes it though, after a hairy patch in the middle, where she slips and has to kind of pull herself back up on the parapet. And she gets Twat Barlow, that's his name now. She gets Twat Barlow quite literally by the balls. She's a rider. She chooses to let Jack go though. Do you think she'll regret that later? I wonder.
Yeah.
Oh, Dane Atos. More about him later too. All we need to know for now is that she bumps into her old friend, Dane. He puts her into his squad, which is thankfully far away from Zaydan Ryerson's. But wait. A quick meeting of wing leaders, and Zaydan has moved her entire squad into his wing. Not just any wing though, fourth wing, we get the first drop of the name of the book. We get our first glimpse of dragons and our first death roll, which gives us an idea of how brutal this place is going to be. 68 dead on the first day. Dane makes a few attempts to get Violet out of the Rider's Quadrant into the Scribe Quadrant, which gives us an idea of how annoying this man is going to be. The cadets start their lessons, and we learn in battle brief that the wards are faltering, and the Griffin Flyers of Poor Emile are raiding the border village looking for something. But what they're looking for, we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. Next class, the sparring mat. This is my worst nightmare. Twat Barlow gets his second kill in as many days by snapping some poor guy's neck, and pink-haired rebellion relic Imogen gets paired against Violet. It's safe to say Imogen wins the hand-to-hand with the sound of Violet's snapping arm, but she does not yield.
Yeah, that's a really good summary.
Did I miss anything?
I think we would be on details, like part by part, but yeah, I think overall it's a really good summary about it. So, should we start? We maybe talk a little bit about chapter one?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
What did you think?
Okay, so, first thing that I have, Violet, she was like training her life to be the scribe. The mother just decided like 6 months ago that no, she's gonna be a writer now, because none of her children is gonna be a scribe, which is weird because she was married with a scribe, so why she suddenly is like, no, she can't be a scribe, there's no way that she's gonna be a scribe, like why? That's like one of the first things.
Well, died, so she even says, yeah, but, he's dead. I don't think he cares about much these days or something. Brutal.
Yeah, like somebody, I think she's mentioned like somebody's like mentioned the weather or something like that. Like, she doesn't care. But for me, it's suspicious. Because first, she wasn't meant to be a writer. And then she had just 6 months to just prepare as best as she can, and then do the tests and do everything to become a writer. So that's like the first thing that I like. Why? You can say that, oh yeah, because she like the general, then she like so like she had this pride, her children has to be writers as her as well, which nobody else agreed with her, not even Mira, this Violet's sister. She tried to convince her mother that that's a really bad idea, but she had nothing to do with that. She already made her mind that Violet is going. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be a writer, and that's it. There's nothing to talk about it. But then, you see this figure, this general, this woman, they're so hard, they're so like tough. But once she is alone with Violet, I can see like a little bit of she cares.
Softness. About.
Yeah, I can see a mother. Mm. Even when she was like arguing with Mira, she said that Violet had more pain, and just one day that she doesn't, like in a week or something like that. So she thinks that Violet, she can do it, that she is stronger enough to go through all of that. So she really trusts her.
He believes in her.
Yes. But again, like, why suddenly she has to be a writer? That, like, the main question for me, like, obviously, there's maybe something going on, and Violet has to be the one to find out in the writer's squadron. Like, okay. She's a really clever girl, and the mother now, because she's supposed to be a scribe, and not just a regular scribe. She's supposed to be, like, the star or the
scribe. So you think she's putting her into the Rider's Quadrant so she can get some information?
Yes. As you mentioned in the previous episode, there's a secret.
Violet, yeah, because it was in the blood.
Yeah, it was in the blood, in the cover as well. So I think maybe the mother is suspecting something is going on with the Riders, and she's sending Violet. Kind of as a spy, but without she knowing about it. It's just because she trusts her, She knows that she's stronger enough and she's a really clever girl. So that's kind of like, okay, maybe that makes sense for me if this is going on.
Okay.
Yeah. That's one thing, but then when she is doing the test, when she got to the part of it, and then she's trying to do it before this storm comes, that storm as well is like a little bit suspicious.
Storm.
Yeah, definitely.
Why is the storm suspicious?
I mean, because it was like in the right town, in the right place for this to happen, and when it was happening, Violet was like crossing, but otherwise that could be something that maybe about the other cadets. Or
yeah, but you're talking about General Sorengel's signet.
That was like one of the things that I was thinking about. So obviously, I don't know that much about if more than one people can have exactly the same one. And if I was the mother, what she was doing it, or actually she was doing it on purpose, because...
Yeah, so General Sorengel's signet is the part wielding storms.
Yes.
So you think that General Sorengel perhaps sent the storm...
Yeah, I think that maybe somehow she caused it. I don't know if she did it on purpose, if she can control it, or just because she was under the stress that her daughter... She might die even when she's like trusting, but she might be wrong.
So we don't actually ever, or in the current two books, get confirmation like of whether that storm was caused. But there are other things. But I think if it was her that sent the storm, there's several reasons why it could be. It could be one that. This would be the really sinister one, I'm sure it isn't. She didn't actually want her to make it.
Okay.
Another reason could be that she was worried about her and she couldn't, because it's very hard to control your emotions as a rider, which we learn. I don't think General Sorengel has much trouble controlling her emotions, but she might when her children are concerned. So it could be at the point that Violet's crossing, she actually is really struggling to control her emotions because she's worried about her.
Yeah.
Or it could be that she got the timing wrong. There's never enough dragons for the amount of riders or the amount of cadets. So she could have been trying to...
Just going to help, just get rid of some potential killer for her as well.
Yeah.
And make sure that she's going to get a dragon.
Yeah, so there's several reasons. You never get a confirmation, we haven't yet got a confirmation of what the reasons might be, but there's like varying degrees of like psychopath to great mother.
Yeah, because obviously there's a mention about that stone as well, because Violet, she knows a lot of data from the training as a scribe. So she knows that 15% as average of the cadets will die in the parapet. But in this specific time, they were like 20%, which is like a massive increase. And she blamed it because that the storm. So really that storm was causing all these like deaths. So that's like the start there, like, okay, there's something going on with that storm.
Yeah, she could have had so much faith that Violet would do it, and she was trying to... You never know.
Yeah, it's the mother doing it, but like I said, I don't know if that signal is gonna be just for her or somebody else can have it or something else can like make these storms, but just need to go a little bit more.
Yeah.
A few more
it's
chapters.
So hard for me to not say stuff and explain how signets work and
But yeah, I think there's more about Violet than Miss the Eye, because so far, and the way they describe her, like really small, really like that you're not expecting.
Fragile.
Yeah, that she's gonna be like a rider or gonna be like physically like.
Pale skin, pale hair, pale.
Yeah, and like the pale hair, that I find that as well like, a little bit suspicious. I don't know if there's like a reason, and then the mother knows that maybe she's. Have something because the signal that she has, something maybe passed to her or something. I think there might be a reason about this, but that's something that I guess we'll find out later on, or
we won't, or we'll still not know, but we will have some theories and some suspicions.
Yes. So yeah, then when she starts, okay, she's going to do it. Mira was helping her, giving like all the advice because she is a second year rider, so she had a lot of experience already. She knows what she needs to pass the first test, the part of it, and giving the proper clothes, everything. First thing that she says, don't make friends. That's the first thing that she does. So she meets this girl, how we call it, Rhiannon. And
or Ri.
Yeah.
Ri.
And Dylan. And Dylan.
I'm not gonna die. Bye-bye.
Yeah, okay, straight away, when I was like reading about this guy, it gave me exactly like the same impression when you're watching these movies about war and you see the typical guy. Oh, this is little Timmy, and this is my wife. We just get a house. We're gonna be so happy together after the war, and after the helicopter is dead. So yeah. Like, I knew straight away when he was talking about like, oh yeah, he wanted to propose, but it was like bad luck. So they're going to wait until he come back. Like, oh God,
you're dead.
You're gonna die. But the thing that surprised me is like, yeah, like 2 pages later, he was dead.
Like immediately.
Like, yeah, like, what was the point?
You think that was going to be the Harry, Ron, and Hermione?
Yeah, trio. I think that he will die in like more dramatic point of the story. But no, we're like 2 pages, literally 2 pages later, he's dead. And like, okay.
Oh no, and it's so sad because his mom was like, not wanting to let him go. And as a mother of a boy, I mean, as a mother of anyone, it's just because Dylan. Like, yeah. His dad had to pull the mother away when they were saying goodbye.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, reading it for the second time, obviously, it hits different because she's saying goodbye and she doesn't ever see him again. It's really sad.
Yes. But, yeah, there were, like, a comment I had to say about this poor Dylan. I had to mention it because he didn't have enough time in the story to, like, be more important character.
He was important because I think he needed to die because you needed to feel something. So...
yeah, there's kind of like, you will die regardless if you're a good person, you're bad, yeah. Like, it's random or skills or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it's just a mark of, like, again, the 68 people dead in the first 24 hours.
Mm.
It just, all of that serves to show you what a brutal place
it was
going to be.
Yeah, 67 died in the Parpid, and why die?
One got roasted.
Because of the dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else I had to say about it? So... when Mira was with Violet and they start to see these new cadets and they start to see the, how you call it, like this mark that the dragon made to...
oh, the relic.
The relic, yeah.
Rebellion relic.
Yeah. So, okay, I found them like a little bit like weird. She didn't know about it because she's like really clever. She is this kind of woman that she was like a scribe, so she had like a lot of data, and that's something that you will see in other chapters, that she had
like a lot
of data.
On the parapet, she's trying to calm herself down.
Yeah, giving like a lot of stuff too. Obviously, that's made for the people who are reading to know a little bit more about this world. Because that's another thing that it caught my attention, the straight away you start like already in the action part of this book, and little by little then just giving you like little
context.
Yeah, like little part of the story, so you start to make like put all the pieces together. But yeah, I will believe more that she knew about it but she never saw it before, so for me it would be more realistic, like, oh, that's it, that's how it looks like. So she knew about it, but why she didn't know anything about it when it's something, it happened just basically once and in the lifetime of this work, at least.
Yeah, I agree as well, because I think you see the letter that General Soringel writes to General Melgren that says she's officially disagreeing with the fact that the children should watch the executions of their parents.
Yes.
But do you think she wouldn't, like, I mean, if something happens in your day,
mm-hmm.
you come home and you, like, if you're really that passionate about it, do you not think she would have, like, around the dinner table, she'd have been raging, and then Violet would have heard, she might not, because Violet was a teenager when it happened. I feel like Violet should have known that. I agree with you, but part of it is Rebecca Yarros building the world. She's got to tell the audience, the reader, that stuff.
Yeah.
And she does that via Violet. Perhaps a more, like, believable way of doing it would be Violet saying, is that the rebellion relic that was caused by the dragons? And so maybe, yeah, because Violet is such a encyclopedia, and you see that as she's crossing the parapet, cause she's telling us about all the provinces and the geography of the land.
Yeah.
So she obviously prepared really well for the Scribe Quadrant. But I like that as a world-building thing. I like how Violet's... Because when you're when you're stressed and you're anxious, you do try and... Everyone has their own mechanisms of, like, how to calm back down.
Yeah.
And that's a good one. I like it because it also serves the purpose of telling us.
Yeah.
And building the world.
Yes, but still, for me, it's like... Okay, she didn't know about it, but her brother died in the war, so how is it possible that she, that she didn't know about something that's actually, like, really close to her, that she'd been affected by that war, she'd been affected by that, because everything changed for her. The brother died. The girl sick or start to have problems after that, the dad or the
Brennan. Oh, yeah, his heart, that's when his heart problems. That's suspicious as well.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was because sadness, because this Brennan was, for the stuff that I read about him, he was like the favorite of both parents, and because Violet said that Brennan was the one that the mother loved, that she respect Mira and she tolerates Violet.
Yeah, but don't, you've got a sister, I've got a sister, don't we always sometimes think that the other one's the favourite? Like, that's just natural part of being a sibling.
Yeah, well, I don't know, I guess maybe it's in this world, it's just because in the general, she was more into, like, obviously, like, army kind of style, and then the son was, like, a really good one, so make it proud. And,
yeah, but you know, you've got two children, unless you have, I don't have a favourite, just saying. You don't. I think it's just, because we're always going to see this from the perspective, well, actually, we do get some different point of view chapters later in the book, but we're always going to see it from Violet's perspective, so she is always going to be a bit dramatic.
Yeah. Okay. It could be. It could be that there's, like, Violet's point of view and nothing else, but I find it, like, a little bit, like, okay. That was, like, definitely a war that caused so many changes in Violet's life.
I hope I can say this kind of stuff, and it's not really a spoiler, it's a, like, anti-spoiler. We still don't have a lot of details about her dad's death, and there are so many suspicious things about it. So this is, like, quite a good thing for me, because we can speculate, and I don't know why that happened, but it is really suspicious.
Yeah, definitely. And then talking about all the rebellion, about the people who was, like, causing all this war, then we talk about one of the, I'm guessing it's gonna be one of the main characters, there's Seiden. Ah, Seiden. Couldn't say the name without a smile, can you?
Well, he wants to kill her, so I shouldn't really like him.
Yeah, but yeah, I have so many questions about this guy, because his father was the leader of the rebellion, so he was punished as well, just because he was the son of this guy. So one of the things was, like, he now is gonna be he's gonna do the test to become a rider, but that was a punishment because everyone thought that he would just die. But I don't know if we find this later on or we have any kind of data. My question is, like, did he always want to be a rider or he want to be something else before? Because he was basically forced to be a rider, for him was literally graduate or die. So he was like, okay, he might die with all the tests, and if the tests don't kill him, some people will kill him because he will always be as a traitor.
Ben Ryerson, yeah.
Yes, and everything, it was in the wrong direction, because in the end he managed to pass everything. He get his own dragon, and now he is like
one of the most brutal dragons that there is.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Did I tell you that somebody asked me who my celebrity crush was? And I said I don't have a real life one. I just have one from a book. And you might be able to suspect now who that might be. Anyway, we don't know much about him. All we know is he wants to kill Violet.
But does he?
Does he?
That's my question. Because obviously, like, in the first time they are like face to face, so he knows that she is General Sorongel's daughter. And I think maybe he can see that she's not supposed to be there, because he's like looking up down, and it's like he maybe like questioning why she's doing that. He doesn't bother even try to do something to her, because he even think that she won't make it. That's when Dylan died, and then he said, "Now it's your turn."
It's not funny.
I know. Sorry, Dylan. Yeah, we still love you. But obviously, for me, it's like, okay, this guy, he could like kill her, or could do anything right there, or whatever. He didn't. Why? It's like because he genuinely believed that she just killed herself, because she just so like little thing that she won't make it, and because everything is so brutal from the to become a rider that he just believed she will die eventually, so why even bother? Or maybe,
or is there another reason?
Well, that's why I was asking, did he want to be a rider in the first place? Because if he didn't, then maybe he might feel like identified with her. Then.
But who wouldn't? Maybe, yeah.
Like, because he can see that maybe he know that she's like the general.
He doesn't know that at that point. He doesn't know that she's forced into the Rider Squadron. But, no, I forgot what I was going to say. We'll come back.
No, but that was like my first feeling, that maybe somehow you feel like that she shouldn't be there, but she is there. Why? Well, she is the daughter of the general, so that must be the reason. And he's a clever guy as well. That's something that we've shown in the next episodes as well. But yeah, so far this all my stuff, my takeaway from chapter one. I don't know if you have something else to say about this.
I wondered what you thought about Mira. Like,
yeah,
can you imagine her?
And in the beginning when she was talking with the mother, I didn't know they were related. So I thought that she was actually like feeling Violet can be a rider because she's just not worth it, or she just shouldn't be there. So I thought that maybe she was being like mean to her, but she was actually trying to help.
She's caring about
her. Yeah, and then you can see after they leave that she take the clothes, or she's actually being a big sister with her. So you can tell that she's really nice. And she's kind of like a legend as well between the riders, or the one they want to be riders.
Yeah, because she took out the battery behind.
Yeah.
For ages, I was thinking it was an actual battery. You know, like a.
Triple A battery.
No, a big grid, like a grid scale battery. That's like a massive battery. But obviously, then I was like, they don't have
electricity. We don't know.
No, they don't, do they? They have mage lights. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to ask you was about the other quadrants. Like, obviously, we don't know much about them, but you've got riders, scribes, infantry, healers. Mm-hmm. I remembered what I was going to say before. It was like, who wouldn't want to be a rider? I would love to be a rider. I know I'd probably fall off the steps getting up to the parapet. Like, let's face it, I'm not going to be a rider. But it's so cool. They're the only ones that actually have magic. Mm. Nobody else does.
Yeah, obviously everyone is into like riding the dragon, and it's so cool. It's like How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, it's really similar. You get a signet though. The dragon channels its power to you, and you get a power. Yeah. The healers have to rely on normal medicine.
Oh, right, they're not magical.
No, because they don't have dragons. The magic only
comes from them. Maybe they're doing potions, so kind of like Harry Potter style.
Yeah, that's what it is, isn't it? It's not magic, though.
Well, potions are still like magic. If they do studying like modern medicine can do now, like if somebody had a broken bone and then just put something in the bone, boom, it's fine.
No.
For example.
No, that doesn't happen. Sorry, spoiler. Infantry. The thing I'm not sure I understand is that I don't know if the infantry have to pass the exam to get to Besgaeth, or infantry just like I know they're the foot soldiers. They're like the ones that do all the legwork. But I don't know if they're supposed to pass an exam.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that's just the army. I don't know.
Yeah, so for that, just really a lot of details about the riders, a few about the scribe, and that's it.
Nothing about
Nothing. There's nothing about healers or infantry. There's nothing.
She just kind of said infantry fodder, didn't she? So it's kind of like that's just where you go if you don't make it into the other quadrants. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
You don't hear more about infantry until the next book, really. Then the healers, you will, because she's a bit fragile. Anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, shall we go to chapter 2?
Yeah, that took ages. I'm going to be here all night.
Yeah, so chapter 2, main theme. Jack Barlow.
Oh my god, Twat Barlow.
Yeah. I don't like him.
You don't like him. I'm glad. Yeah,
but you know that it's not because it's a bad guy, because he's not a bad guy. He is a bully and a coward, because he killed two guys so far. Yeah. But the first one, he was in a position that he wasn't even maybe like...
He didn't need to kill him, did he?
They were more like focused and don't kill themselves from the parapet.
Yeah.
So like, why he was taking advantage
of that? And why was he so confident up there? Like, how was he not getting blown around by the wind?
Well, I guess he was prepared. Yeah. And the other guy that he kills as well, he was smaller than him. So he's like a bully, but he made sure that they weren't his bully.
Yeah, he makes me so angry. He gets worse. Sorry. I'm spoiling it, aren't I, because I'm saying you don't hear this and you do hurt it, but I can't help it.
Yes, but obviously in chapter 2 everything is Violet trying to cross the parapet, Dylan die, so now it's her turn, and then she has to do it, she is scared, and then a technique for her to calm down is just go for facts, because if she knows the facts, then... It would be easy for her to just keep the mind distracted, I guess. And yes, we start to know a little bit more about this world inside. And at the same time, we start to see like a little bit of action with this Jack Barlow chasing her. So we are like, oh, what's going to happen? I wasn't expecting that she would die there, because then would be like really
improbable.
Yeah. And the other ones, it just credits for all the people to have for these two chapters. Yeah. But, yeah, it was kind of like, okay, I know they want to make it like intense, they want to make it like, oh my god, what's going to happen, but at the same time, like, it's too early to think that you're going to die there.
Yeah. I mean,
but,
you know there's another book as well, unless it's from someone else.
Well, I don't know if she's there.
Point of view,
I know there's another book, but I don't know if she's there. But, yeah, I mean, like, okay. It's kind of like, I'm guessing that if I'm seeing the series and everything, it would be, like, good to see, like, that she, like, fallen, the other guy tried to push her.
I think, I was going to say that, like, we might do a bit after about, but we could just intersperse it through. I think this bit just shows that this TV series needs a really big budget.
Yeah, it's going to be another Game of Thrones, pretty much, because you had the dragons that went.
It will just look rubbish, won't it? If it's, like, not a big parapet with, like, good CGI and stuff.
Yeah, it has to be something, really, like, look like it's scary. Like, people die then, so you need to make sure that you have all the details for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she was struggling because of really she had... Oh, well, we didn't talk about, but she saw a... Boot, knew her best friend.
Really?
So she was struggling, but she make it, but with Jack Barlow chasing her, and then, like you said in the summary, she grabbed him by the balls, kind of.
Dagger to the balls.
Yes. I mean, I'm with her as well, because I would say just kill him, that's it, kill him. But she said that she wasn't in a good position to kill him, the only thing they will do is just chop the balls off.
Yeah, and
he won't die because of that. And then
he'll even hate her even more. Yeah, but you got to remember, like, not many people, people just can't kill people. Like, it's not an easy thing to do, I would say. I don't have any experience in that, but it can't be an easy thing to do. It's not just like she got not just the wrong angle. She's like, she's not gonna just kill him. But she's not that type of person.
Yeah, I mean, she meant to be a scribe, and scribes are more like librarians, so they're never.
Not just librarians. I would say they're historians more than librarians. They're like.
They're collecting like all the data, and they're like analysts as well. I think they're giving like a little bit like insights about what's going on to the riders as well, with all the data that they provide.
Yeah, they also get information from the front lines back to them. Like, they're the information people and the history and the...
Yeah.
They're really important. They're just not killers.
Yeah, definitely. She's still a scribe, so she might be dressing as a rider and be part of the rider squadron, but... And her, she still has cried. Yeah. That's it. I don't have anything else to add from chapter 2.
I can't remember exactly what happened in each chapter, so I'll just take your word from it for it. I've read it quite a few times, but
yeah,
it all blurs into one.
Yeah, so let's see chapter 3, what I had to say about chapter 3. So in chapter 3 now, then we see Deinatos. It's like, it's like, you know, this guy, there's like, he's trying to protect her, he's trying to be good for her, but it's this kind of person that is like overdoing, and with that overdoing, it's just getting annoying. It's like, just go away.
I felt the same about Mira, and I was going to wait until I said this, until we met Dane, but I don't see that there's much difference between Mira and Dane. They both really care about Violet. They both don't want her to be a rider. They both think she's fragile.
Yeah.
Even though they say that's not weak. It's the same thing. It's quite offensive. It's like they just don't have any faith in her. But when you, like, listen to other fans and, like, on stories, on TikTok, everyone lays into Dane for that, but no one really lays into Mira. I don't know if it's kind of a double standard, because it's family versus friend, female versus male, you know, like the alpha male saying, I've got this.
Yeah.
But they're both coming from the same place. They both care about her, and they both don't think she's going to cut it.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing that people don't like Dane, but they do like Mira, and it's how I felt about Mira as well.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. I guess it's just because obviously Mira is like the big sister. You are expecting there's like kind of like her job, look after the little sister, and she knows her so well and that kind of stuff. But when Viola is talking about Dane, then he was like, kind of
like a brother.
Yeah, like a brother, and at the same time, kind of like a lover that didn't happen.
Yeah, maybe not a brother.
Yeah.
The boy next door.
Yeah, that kind of boy that something might happen but never happened, and now that he is like a leader of the Riders, and
I don't know how she describes him, but he got really fit.
Yeah, so for her, he looks hot now, and now she's interested about him.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same feelings from him to her, but kind of. It's like, there's like created now, like sexual tension.
Doesn't she say that she can't help but wonder if finally they're on the same page?
Yeah.
So it sounds like there was a... Like, she liked him at one point, but he didn't. Then he liked her.
Yeah, they were like...
It's like off.
Yeah.
Like just off timing.
Never much, but yeah.
So. Brother wasn't the right word, was it? Sorry. More like just really close friend.
I know, that's kind of like the brother from Pornhub or something like that. But so he tried to help her, just like taken away from the Riders and sending by to the scribes. She said that she can't go. The mother said that she either success as a rider or she will die. Mm-hmm. But she won't be as pregnant. Yeah, pretty much. And then he said, okay, he's going to try to help her. He's going to put her basically under his wing.
Squad, he's not a wing leader.
Yeah. But he's trying to help her, like, protect her, because he knows her well, that once everyone starts to know about that she is General Songer's daughter, everyone will go after her. But that didn't last very long. And obviously, Seiden, he had their eyes on her. You can tell that he's like, He wants to keep her close. I don't know why. I guess, because so far everything saying that he wants to kill her. And he talked with the other guys, and she is now like one of the guys.
Yeah, she's in fourth wing.
Yes.
One thing about Dane that I only noticed in maybe my like third or fourth read of these chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And we still don't know anything, but it's a bit suspicious. She mentions a scar on his chin twice.
Yeah. Yes, but I think there's a time when they were talking about Seiden and his dragon. So that dragon is like one of the most like terrified dragons, and the other dragons like know as well. And he mentioned that his dragon, I think it's called Cat. Yeah. That he could be like hard work as well. So that
you
might
be. You think maybe he got the scar from the dragon?
Yes.
Maybe. I just feel like it's really weird that she mentions it twice. If it was, and then that's it. I can't remember any more mentions of it in the rest of the two books. But in the first chapter, she mentions it twice. So, not the first, but whatever chapter we're on, third chapter.
So it's weird they mention the scar, but there's no other mention like how he did or there's a reason or anything.
Yeah.
But
maybe we find out in the third one or fourth one.
Yeah, but I don't know, it could be the dragon, like his own dragon doing it, or I don't know if he's been already in battles because he's second year, I think he is. So I don't know if I'm just in 2 years, he had like enough time to like go for battles and all the stuff. But I think he does because Mira, she is second year as well, I think.
No, Mira's.
No, she's lieutenant.
Yeah, she's lieutenant.
She's been more.
Well, she's off. She's She's not in the college anymore.
Yeah.
She only came to visit. The other thing, like, we find out about Dane's signet.
Mm.
Or is that the next chapter?
Yeah, I think that's in the next chapter. Okay. But yeah, we're talking about, like, when you, like, had this link with the dragon, you had the signet, the dragon had, like, these, like, powers in the past to you somehow, and it channels into you. But I remember when he wanted to take Violet to, like, his bedroom or somewhere else, he was able to, like, open the door.
Mm.
Kind of, like, I don't know if I'd, like...
They call it lesser magic or something.
Yeah.
So you can channel... Once the dragon channels... I don't think this is a spoiler, it's just an explanation. Once the dragon channels, you can use that power to do, like, turn on lights and write with a pen instead of a quill and open doors. And everyone can do that. That's, like, nothing special. Move things, like, slightly, I think.
Yeah, that's the thing that I didn't know.
Signet is, like, the true power that is a result of the
unique
rider. Yeah, the it's controlled by the rider. It's not the dragon. The dragon's giving them the power, and then it gets converted into a signet by the rider.
Yeah. Yeah, that is something really interesting for me as well. I didn't know if every single rider had, like, a small powers, like, different small powers, and then you had the big one, there's the signet.
Mm, the small ones are all the same, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so after that, we're going to chapter 4. And then in chapter 4, we have now more, like, a little bit more story from... Dane, so he's talking more about his power. He's talking about what is the signet, and he tells him that he can read, the last memories,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting, I think, because remember there was some mention as well about, like, a forbidden signet. Like mind reading,
mm-hmm.
and
good spot. That's a good spot on the first read.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, he can read the last memory just by touching somebody, so he can't do it if he's not touching
mm-hmm.
or anything else. But that's now that he's doing it.
Yeah, I think so. I think signets get stronger, and that is quite suspicious for me. So he might be able to also look further back than recent memories, because signets get stronger the more you practice, the more you hone the skill. So it might actually become the forbidden signet.
Yeah, that would be, like, something interesting to see later on how he develops this. It might be
I don't think he would tell anyone.
Well, it's forbidden, so if he tells anyone, they will try to
kill him.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd tell anyone.
Yeah. Maybe in some point it would be obvious that he can do it, or
he
would do it in a specific point where it would be really
keep
useful.
Reaching for cupping people's faces. But it's interesting, knowing now that he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
When you read forward every time he touches Violet.
Oh. Yeah, it's gonna be like,
yeah. You can try and see if there's a hint that he's reading her memories.
Yes, because I believe he's gonna be, like, really useful for intelligence. But I don't know if we will see that actually happening, like that in action. Because it's like, okay, he need to touch the person, but does the person feel something when he's reading the memories, or the person doesn't be affected by this?
I don't know.
Yes. So that's, like, one of the takeaways from chapter 4, and then after that they had to go to the battle brief, and that's, like, the beginning of chapter 5. Anything else that you think we need to talk about chapter 4 or...
No, about I only this had specific? The Dane scar, which is weird, and...
Yeah, there is some mention about it, but then nothing else.
Yeah, and we already talked about that, and then Dane's signet, that was the only other.
Yeah, so obviously he will be like somebody important, or it's going to be like really valuable for the riders, because he's going to be able to... If they capture somebody, some of the enemy, he would be able to rely their recent memories.
His dad's quite kind of important as well, like the like General Sorengel, their friends.
Yes.
He's our advisor, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so finally chapter 5. And then in chapter 5, we had a battle brief, and then we see the entrance of Professor Markham.
Yeah, the scribe.
This scribe, he's supposed to be like Mayvalus, his pupil star.
Protege.
Yes.
Or Jedi, what do you call that?
No, you're going to be the better one.
The one.
Yes. But from the way that I understand it, that he's like really important, but he's really old, and that he's going to pass everything to her. But yeah, now she's the given class to the riders, and now Violet is there, so will be like depressing for him.
He calls
as well.
Her Violet as well, doesn't he? And then it's like Cadets or Girls. Yeah.
Yes.
But he must have been friends or at least a close colleague with her dad.
Yeah. Yeah, because obviously the dad was a scribe as well. So I don't know if there's some mention about the relationship between the two.
I would assume he was quite high up in the scribes as well.
Yeah.
Like he was well trusted.
Yes, exactly. But yes, we have Professor Markham, and then we start to talk about some attacks that have been in some of the regions. I think they're talking about the Eastern Wing. They've been attacked by, how do you call it, Griffons?
Flyers.
Yes. And they obviously, you can tell that it's just like a training for the riders. So it's not just physical, there has to be like mentally as well. Mm-hmm. So they know about the strategies and this kind of stuff. And I think it's in this point when, for Violet, being a scribe is really useful, because she has so much information about the place where she lives, about other stuff, that she can just be like taking stuff, details that nobody
knows
else.
What to ask.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a show when the professors, they were like asking to the first years, ask questions about it, because they want to know like how good they are with all of this. And she's like actually the one who does a really good question. But she's not confident enough, and she passes it to
Ren. Oh, no, it's not that she's not confident. Dane tells her to keep her head low.
Yeah.
Because Zayden Ryzen's in the class. And by that point, he's already confirmed to her that everyone knows he wants to kill her. Or is that?
In chapter 4, there's a meeting between Dane and Violet. They're talking, and they say down, see them, and then when he goes there and talks, like, I knew that your parents are like really good friends, but you two have to be like so obvious.
So obvious, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't stop yawning.
it's late, by the way, for us.
So, yeah, so she's not confident. She's confident. She just, like, she knows she's right. It's just that she's trying to take Dane's advice because she doesn't want Zayden. Or, I guess, she was already told by her mum that she'd be targeted as a Sorengale. Like, people will try and test her. So
yeah.
She's trying to keep her head low. And then when she gets, when Devera says, maybe you'd like to ask your own questions in future, and then Markham says, Violet, I mean, Cadet Sorengale, everyone then knows who.
Yeah, so there was no point now to hide or anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then we start to see, like, okay, there's something going on in this region. They go with Gryphons, and they're not, like, really good for that kind of attack. So the question is, like, why?
You can't cope with altitude.
Yeah, exactly. So why they talking? And we start to find out.
Well, why would they? Why would they go somewhere that they're not strong?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why do you think? Come on.
I mean,
we can be in Bathory.
So, Gryphons are not really good and high as an altitude, but I don't know if there's something else that actually they are good. I don't know if they are good like searching, or they are good like sensing something, or they are like something else. There's like,
or they're just totally desperate.
Yes, or
they really want the thing that they're searching for.
Yeah, they have like no more resources. That would be like my next question as well, or my next guess. That's the only thing that they have to do that kind of mission, so they just
really want it.
Yes, so at the moment when we're reading this, we know that okay, there'd be like an attack. Then Zaydan is the first one to what, like, what was the estate or the village by the end. And then they get that, okay, they were looking for something. Do we know what they were, what do we have? They are looking so desperately, and so far they say they don't know. And this chapter is showing like that.
Well, that's what they say. You never know with these people.
Yes. They said from the beginning there will be like stuff that they won't say to them because they're still like working on it.
Yeah.
So probably they just want to give a little bit of training or to the cadets.
They're just cadets. Like some of this information might be classified. It's like army information. Yeah, they don't tell everyone everything, do they?
Yeah, exactly. But there was something else when Violet was talking about it, doing her calculations, and then she knew the rider that went to defend the Esther Wing, they knew already that something was going on. So everyone was laughing about her, about this girl, but she was right. One of the dragons was sensing that something was going on, and then all of them went to defend.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool as well, that the dragons can sense this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like this bit a lot because you're already starting to get a sense of the world outside the college, and there's a war going on and it's serious, and there's attacks, and there's the wards, which are the protective spells, the protective barriers around the region, they're faltering. And they get nervous when one of the cadets says, how often? Is it the first time? Or I can't remember what she asks.
Yes, it's not the first time. It's happened a couple of times. The walls happen and they fall a couple of times.
Yeah, and then she says, how often are they falling? And Markham says, that's above your pay grade or something.
Yeah.
He shuts her down. So they're obviously worried about it. And that's why I like this class as a whole, because they're starting to learn the seriousness of the situation. And they've not just come here to become riders, they've come here to become weapons.
Yeah, exactly. They're supposed to be the elite about all their schools, so really they don't need to be just physical, they need to be intelligent, they need to be like ready in all aspects.
Yeah, but some of them totally aren't, like Twat Barlow. He's an idiot.
Yes.
How did he pass the exam? I don't know what the rider's exam is, though. Is it just agility? And you'd think there'd be some intelligence part, wouldn't you?
So far, I can't tell. It's just like doing exams or anything. It's just more like trying to teach him or trying to make him think, or not like testing.
No, I mean to get in to be a rider. Mm-hmm. You had to do a test, and she passed the test to get in.
Yeah.
And she said she was, like, the fastest, or she came really high up on agility.
Yeah.
And speed. But you'd think to be a rider, you'd have to...
I thought it was, like, a general test, and then...
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
And then, about your result...
Then you just choose.
Yeah, you know, like... I don't know here, but, like, I'm from Colombia... If you want to be like a lawyer or a doctor, you need to do like this test, and you need to have like a specific punctuation to
score,
do this.
Yeah,
otherwise you won't be able to do it. So I thought that when they were talking about Violet being like the fastest, and she was like really agile, I thought it was like a regular test they do to all of them. And
like
then
the bleep test. Did you ever have to do that at school? It's like what they do to be a police officer.
No, never did.
Couldn't think of the word. It's like a test where you run between two points and you have to make it before the next beep, and the beep gets really fast.
Alright. It's quite fun. Yeah, but I thought you do like a general test. General test. And then from that, according to your score, you can go to be a rider, or no, you didn't reach that, but you could be an infantry, or you can be a healer, or you can be a
scribe. I thought you could just choose. But I did assume there was like a slightly different test. You know how I thought rider would be a bit more of a PE test, a physical test, and healers might be a bit more like chemistry, and then infantry.
Yeah.
It's kind of like just where everyone else goes. And the scribes, you have to do a written 3 hours. Because she does say, I was preparing for the scribes' written exam.
Yeah.
So that's why it must be different. It must be a different test.
I might be wrong, but from my point of view, was like there's kind of like a general test. And then obviously there's like the preparation for the specific one that you want to do.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. So I think there's a general test. I need to read this again. I think there's a general test.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scribe's written exam. Maybe that's what they do on conscription day. You know how the riders cross the parapet?
Yeah.
The scribes take a written exam, and then the healers must do
Something different as well. Yeah.
Different, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I would see that.
And if you pass the test, you're a scribe. If you don't pass the test, you go, just like if, or at least you can go home.
you don't die.
Yeah, you don't fall in, like, I don't know how far it is, 200 metres? No, that can't be that high.
I can't remember.
But you don't fall to your death if you fail an exam. It might feel bad, but
yeah.
I try again next year.
Yeah, the graduate or die is just if you want to be a rider.
Yeah.
The other one is just graduate or fail.
Graduate or fail.
It's not that impact.
Oh, failure's terrible. Oh,
graduate or repeat next year. After this, it's just gonna be like the sparring section as well that they had to do. We had the
Can you Japan imagine how bad I'd be at that?
Just circling all around.
We're like try and put in a pathetic punch. wouldn't be good. Yes.
But yeah, again we have Jack Barlow again showing off as the bad guy and that kind of stuff, but she
what kind of a person? He's a psychopath.
Yeah. We don't know at the moment like what pushed this guy to be a twat.
Yeah, what's his backstory? Where did he come from? Why is he...
There's always a story behind, isn't it? Like, behind every single bad guy of the psycho, there's always a sad story behind. There's
always a story, yeah.
Yeah.
Joker.
Yeah, exactly. But with this one, at the moment, like I say, he's just like taken with the one that he knows that he can be like above, like physically. So he killed another guy, and then he like, I didn't know
who's
that guy. Then he was so weak, and just that strong.
You're next, Soren Gale.
Yeah, but I don't know, I didn't get that part. I don't know if he actually was like telling her, like, you're next, or she was like, remember, like, you're next.
She does that a lot, where she's like, my mum's words repeat in my head, or Zayden's words from earlier repeat. So yeah, you're right, you never can tell if she's just remembering something else.
Yeah. But then Violet has his own sparring session as well. She was doing good, I guess, trying to avoid and trying to just not get like being attacked for the other one. But then by the end of the chapter she didn't win, but she didn't yield either.
She definitely loses, but it shows that she's not a wimp and she's not weak.
She didn't lose because she didn't try or because she's a coward or anything, just because the other one was stronger than her.
And maybe I said the wrong thing earlier, because I said mirror said, you're not weak, you're fragile.
Yeah.
And that maybe is the difference. Like, her bone broke because Imogen twisted it the wrong way, but she's not weak because she didn't give up.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there is like a subtle difference there between weakness and fragility.
They say that a lot, like, yeah, that you're not weak, you're fragile. So it's like, obviously, she had like a condition or something. Or...
Yeah, yeah, she does. It's Euler's Daniel, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a chronic condition that causes a lot of pain and for joints. I don't know enough about it, to be honest, but... the author has it as well, and her children does. So, and I believe that she'd never seen a main character with it, so wanted to show that it's not a weakness. And I think that is so true, and I hadn't thought of it until we started talking about it just now, but weakness is maybe a mindset.
Yeah.
Whereas fragility is like a... physical thing.
Yeah.
And Violet certainly isn't weak. She's a really strong female main character. I love Violet. And I think sometimes with other fantasy series, it takes me a while I feel like there's always something that I don't quite get about the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's female or male, I always kind of have some, but I just really like Violet. I don't know what it is about Violet, but I just think she is the best mm-hmm. main character of a story that I've ever read.
Yeah.
I think that's why I love the book so much, because I love the protagonist.
Yeah, I guess it may be just because she is not like the typical superhero, the typical warrior that you see. She just looks more like normal, more human, that she had like a lot of adversity, but she doesn't give up. She just keep fighting against all the odds.
Yeah, but I think like that's kind of a normal thing, isn't it? Where the protagonist, it's very rare that the protagonist is perfect or no. So like Harry, mm-hmm. he doesn't really know anything about the... wizarding world. He's a muggle. He's a bit lazy, like he leaves his homework to the last minute. He's not remarkable. He's not Hermione. He struggles with spells.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of always on the back foot, but he seems to come out on top. And then there's another one in ACOTAR, which you haven't read yet. But no. Feyre, the main character, she can't read. So there's always something where you know that they're going to struggle against...
Yeah.
All odds, they'll make it. So yeah, I don't know what it is about Violet, but I just really, really think she's the best.
Yeah.
I really like her. She's like, also she swaps her boot with Rhee the first time she meets her. That's the type of...
Yeah, even when their sister literally told her a few minutes before, don't make friends.
Forge alliances.
Yeah.
And that's not what she's doing, but she does mention later that she kind of only listens into a conversation between Tara, the new character, and Rhiannon just in case she needs to forge an alliance later. So she's kind of taken her advice, but...
Yeah,
but
it's not like her nature. Just she wants to help the people that she likes, basically.
Yeah, she wants to save her friends.
Yes, that is something that you can see.
So the sparring... back to Imogen. Imogen is such an interesting character, and you learn quite a lot more about Imogen. But she kind of loses it a bit. She gets emotional, and that's what Violet says, is that as soon as you bring emotions into a fight, it's over. So she's winding her up. She's saying, I'm proud of my mum's service. To Navarre from threats from without and within. So it's interesting how she's very supportive of her mother. She's kind of winding up the fact that Imogen is a traitor.
Yeah.
Just because her parents, can't remember if it was her mum or her dad, to be honest, but
Yeah, well, the parents, they were like traitors.
Yeah. So, how yes. Did you like it? Do you want to know what happens next, or are you just reading it because I'm making
you make me.
I'm not making you read it.
It was a horrible idea.
But do you want to know what happens next? Are you like?
Yeah, at the moment, what I feel is like, okay, with these five chapters, it's like it's building up. So I don't feel like, oh my God, this is so good, or I'm not in that stage yet. I find that like, okay, I see like where this is going. I feel like, okay, interesting. I want to see a little bit more. But yeah, I want to find out what else happens. What happened with Zayden?
I can't wait to, for you to like learn more about. So I really love the signets. I really love the finding out, like speculating what people's signets are. We only know a few so far. So we know General Soaring Girl is a storm wielder.
Yeah.
Well, I say we, you only know that Dane can read recent memories.
The
General Melgren.
Yeah, he can probably there. He can see the outcome of the battle.
Yeah, he can see whether they win or lose before it happens.
Yes.
I don't think you know any more.
Can make things really big or really small.
Oh, yeah. Mira's rider friend.
Yes.
Mira's ride, maybe. Then they talk about the standard ones, like ice wielding, fire wielding, wind manipulation. So, but then there's some
forbidden one.
Yeah. The mind reading. But you don't know what Mira's signet is yet. You don't know what Zayden's is. What do you think Zayden's could be?
I know a clue, but it has to be something good because the dragon is like one of the best dragons. It's like
it's nothing to do with the dragon.
What, the dragon?
There's a lot of power. It's up to Zayden what he does with it.
Yeah, but I think that could be like a little combination, because when Dane was talking to Violet that he's ruthless, that's one of the reasons the dragon, how is the dragon's name, like Segael, there was a reason why Segael chose him.
Yeah,
because maybe ruthless. They are not, yes, yeah. maybe because they are two like equal.
Yeah,
so I think those two, they can have like a really good,
like really strong power. Strong power. Yeah, he does have a strong power. It's really cool.
Really cool. Okay. I will find out. I don't know what point.
Yeah.
But
you get signets that are like the standard ones that a lot of people have, or you have signets that are gonna, like, I think she calls them, it's the type of signet that will make your whole career. So, like Dane, who can, they'll use him in intelligence. He's not going to be on the front lines, is he? Because his signet's going to be pretty useless in a battle. Yeah. Whereas some people who might be ice wielding, there's several things that they could do. They could be like throwing ice at griffins, or they could be working with healers. Because people need, like, medics need ice. But there's lots of things that
working in a bar, making ice for drinks.
Cocktails.
Really useful power.
And that happens when you retire. So there's different ones that, and it's all of that. We've got so many characters that throughout both books, and we still don't know what their signet is. It's just really interesting.
So I guess when the, I don't know, if next episode I'm going to read another five chapters, or
yes,
I guess.
But before we stop, I want to know who you think would win in a battle between Mira Sorengil and Twat Barlow. From what you've seen so far.
Okay, from what I've seen so far, definitely Mira.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, because first, she's a lieutenant. Which means that she's been through a lot of stuff already. She is a Soaring Girl, which means that she had to, like, go through face a lot of stuff, a lot of people, just because she had that name.
Mm.
So when they turn into Violet, then they're not gonna be like kind with her because she's a Sauron girl. It's because I think there's experience about it,
yeah,
with Brennan and Mira. She has a dragon as well, so it's gonna be the battle with the dragon.
No, and when you say hand to hand, like there's no signets, yeah, allowed. But
it's still like in the description they give about Mira, that she's like, yeah, muscling because of the hours flying in the dragon, all the stuff that she does. So I think she's already like a little weapon.
Yeah.
Jack Barlow, he is like
he's said at the beginning. Yeah.
He's a coward. He's just going for the weak ones.
So yeah, he can be, yeah, like, good point.
Yes. But definitely in this one I would give it to Mira.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. She's not like Violet. She knew she was gonna be a rider. So from a very young age, she was raised as a rider.
Yeah.
So she would have been taught hand to hand. She's like, she took out a battery behind enemy lines. Do you think she did that without meeting an enemy?
Yeah,
exactly. So she must be good off her dragon as well as on. I totally agree with you.
Mira, yeah, gets and she had more down experience in sparring as well.
I'd like to see it though, because she wouldn't show any mercy to her.
Yeah. Snap the neck as, yeah, well.
Especially if she knew what he'd done to Violet on the parapet.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Okay, yeah, so next week, I guess 6 to 10. I don't know what happens.
Okay.
I can't remember. I'll have to read it again.
Yeah.
We'll probably do chapter 6 to 10 next.
Next episode.
Next week. Yeah.
Okay. So, like I said, I found it interesting. I really want to see what's going on, what happened, mm-hmm, and we'll see if little by little I'm getting more into these books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you've made it to the end of this episode of JC's first read through Fourth Wing, please give us a like or a follow, a subscribe, or if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on one of the podcast apps, please take the time to give us a review, share it with your friends who likes fantasy series, particularly Fourth Wing, and wants to hear a completely new perspective of somebody that doesn't know what happens for the rest of the books. Also from the perspective of someone who's written their own fantasy book. I think you've got a bit of an author brain, so, and I think that's why you've picked out quite a lot of detail in the first 5 chapters. So thanks for listening to Faithfully Fantasy. Please follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Faithfully Fantasy. And we look forward to hearing from you all.
Yes, just let you know as well that we have a website as well where you can see a little bit more about us. So if you go to faithfullyfantasy.com, you can see as well the rest of the podcast that we have. You can see what else we're doing. You can follow us. We have all the information there, guys. So please have a look, faithfullyfantasy.com. And we will see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Next week on Faithfully Fantasy.
Trust me, we have a lot of things to say.
We learn Zayden. He can control the motherfucker.
Rebecca Yarros with this guy just giving like everything. Yeah, tall, muscly, really handsome. Like somebody was
what's
like
his flaw? Give this man a flaw.
The dragon, yeah, he had the baddest dragon and the whole kingdom. Now like the second night, yeah, he's a
and jealous.
I think there's gonna be a time that he and Violet is going to be together at some point. He's going to take the trousers off and then she's going to see a solid 12 inches cock. And it's going to be like, oh, really? Come on.